persons that are sick, and some of our people that have COVID, Lord, be with them. Be with Ms. Gade, Lord, who has an illness, Lord. Heal her. Put your hands on her, heal her, Lord. And thank you for my friends being here today, church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good to see you this morning. We have a lot of folks that are sick. Brother Glade and Colin are sick. Colin got a positive for COVID. Dawn, I'm not sure whether Dawn got a positive or. But Dawn and Tim and Hannah are sick. Frank has the COVID. And Brother Greg has the COVID. He's down in Calvert County. But a lot of people sick. And so we need to really pray for folks. I heard at the beginning of this thing from a good friend of mine who talked to his epidemiologist. The epidemiologist said, look, everybody will get this sooner or later. You know, it's just like the flu. And if you haven't got it yet, it's coming to a place near you. Just be careful and do everything you can. But God knows about this, and he knows the cure. And he's got us through it. I know what it's like to have COVID. Ms. Creed knows what it's like to have COVID. It's not fun. But God is able.
Amen.
And don't let fear rule you. Just do what God lays on your heart to do. If you're sick, don't come to church. Okay? You got live stream and in living color. Amen. And I don't know, you know, this is a rough way to start the new year, but just because we call it 2022 doesn't change what's happening. So we may have a week or so that we shut down and do live stream just to protect people. So if I feel like that's what we need to do as your pastor, that's what we'll do. So you do everything you can do, amen, and we'll do everything we can do. With that said, Happy New Year. And, you know, I kind of feel like the guy that jumped off the 30-story building, and the window was open on the way down. He said to the guy, "What? You okay?" He said, "Okay so far. So far, so good." But, what's that?
Is that the dude that did that during News?
No. We don't have Darian on the prayer list, but let's put him on there. In all caps. And especially his wife. But don't tell us. So we have pretty much the we've got a calendar, working on the calendar. We've got it. We've got to proof it today, but we're going to give you some printouts, but we're going to put up on a regular basis the major things that are happening during the year. You say, what are major? Well, everything, every service, we should be in church every service, every time the doors open. Amen. Amen. But there we're having some revivals, and we're vacation Bible school. We're having some camps and different things like that. And we will have those major things for the whole year. And I would like for you to take a calendar and block those out so you can be here as members. Be present for those, because they're going to be special times. And then Miss Creed's going to add some ladies' activities. I think you're going to go in January, you're going to go bungee jumping. I'm just kidding.
Sledding.
Guys, going to have a snowball. We're going to have a snowball. We're going to have a snowball fight. We're just kidding. She's going to plan some activities, you know, game night and stuff like that. Fellas, we're going to do some stuff, and we'll have some things planned there. And so we have some more activities we're going to put on there and fill in and shore up. And so keep your eyes open, and make sure you pay attention to the screens and anything we pass out. Make sure you you have that on your calendar so you can be here. Amen. Amen. So, Brother Arnold has talked to the people for the baptistry. It's a 4 to 6 weeks, or 4 to 8 weeks, or
8 weeks
for delivery. And so, he's trying to get that here as soon as possible. So, we'll pray they accelerate that and get that done. Amen.
Amen.
Darian, you want to introduce your guests?
Yes. So this is my friend, Mr. Gerard Cadet, his son Maxwell, and his first name, but, Mrs. Cadet.
Rebecca.
That's a Bible name. Amen. Where are you all from? Where you live?
Oh, we live here in Maryland, in the D.C.
area. In the D.C. Amen. Amen. Well, good to have you folks with us now. Now, can Darian, can you take him, or can he take you?
You can't get him yet? Not yet.
Yeah, he's our judo instructor.
Darian's into jujitsu, I guess, or Darian's in judo, or...
It's karate.
Whatever. Only thing I know is this. I watch Karate Kid, amen? We're glad to have you. Make yourself at home. We're sorry that we're starting out slow. We wish you could meet more of the folks, and we hope you come back and see us. And we're excited. Darian speaks highly of you.
Thank you.
Because he's afraid of you. Not really. Well, let's have some ushers come. We'll receive God's tithes and our offerings. Let's give as the Lord directs. So, Brother Steve, the missions giving for Dominican Republic. You guys have a building you're trying to get up.
Yes, sir.
And that's going to cost.
It's going to cost to get the first floor in everything. I think around $35,000.
Yeah, here it would probably cost $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they cut on what they're supposed to do. As a matter of fact, when they started, the first thing I told Steve, you're going to have to shore up some things, and that's what they did. They shored up, did some shoring so the things wouldn't move, and now they can just build.
Yeah.
Had some people, had to deal with some squatters. You know, squat long enough down there, it becomes legal. So, I mean, you know, just, and Brother Steve, just, they're just going on, and hopefully minister to those people. I don't know if you know those or they've ever come to church, but you're building up around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to cost you how, when you finish, turnkey to be finish the whole building? Probably about $100,000?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So we need to be a part of that. Plus, there are pastors around the Dominican Republic we want to help too. Brother Steve has an account. He's got fellows that have come out of his church that are starting churches. How many churches has started out of your church?
11.
11 churches.
Wow.
Out of his church.
Pastor Brother Fenlow.
Yeah.
He's almost 70, and he's putting a roof on his church. He did as far as he could. And I know you all can at least pray for that. They're lacking $3,000 to get the roof finished.
Okay.
So pray for him.
Let me just say something. These people are having... These churches are having people saved every week. Every week somebody comes to Christ. They're ministering. Young men are being called to preach. Young men who could be playing Major League Baseball have put that aside to preach the gospel. Oliver and his wife, I'm sort of partial to Oliver and his wife. They just a blessing to be and see them. And just a lot of things. And then Brother Steve and Miss Noemi, they minister to people in the church. They bring leftover food and food to the church and put it on the table for the people to have food, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's out of their pocket. and so forth. So they're down there ministering. It's a 365 full-on ministering. And these pastors that go out of their churches, they can live on what per month?
Probably they need about $500.
Could you live on $500 a month, folks? Not with Amazon, right? But $500 a month, and that fellow, that preacher can go out and minister and pastor a church. Now you say, preacher, what does that tell us? We need to be part of that. Amen. Now you say, now I know you're looking at your own wallet and your own bank account, but you need to look to God to give through you. Okay, what we can give and above what we can give by God's grace. Amen. And by the way, brother, you guys aren't tired, are you? I got another half hour. But I talked to Brother Kearney. They've got the land. They've got everything signed, and they can start building. And so pray for that as they start building, that God would bless. Okay. So let's pray for the altar. Brother Arnold, pray for us.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that's here this morning, Lord. And we just pray that you'll be with those that are ill and touch them, healing, Lord. And pray, Lord, also that you'll be with this offering, that as we lift it, it'll be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
If you could please stand and turn to John chapter 11, please. I love the book of John. It's my favorite book. And let's begin our reading in verse 17 of John 11. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but he was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comfort her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, And the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? Then said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold now, he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by it, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and said these things which Jesus did, believed on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these wonderful truths and the marvelous word of God. I pray that you give Pastor Creed power as he preaches from this wonderful passage that we have just read today. Be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing Praise Him, Praise Him. We'll sing all three verses.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing all earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrow. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Hail Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Last week we looked at the first part of this chapter, and today we continue with these last verses in John chapter 11. By way of introduction, I want to look at these verses with you and share some things with you. And then I want us to, I want to give you some things to help us learn from this passage of Scripture and understand. If you look at verses 20 through 27 and 32, we see some things First of all, Martha comes and she gives a critical if there in verse 21. It says, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then she gives a correct statement in verse 22. But I know that even now, that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. So she was an emotional wreck, to say the least. Have you ever been an emotional wreck? Huh? Have you ever been going through this? This is not an easy time for them, and a difficult time. And then there's a comforting statement, verse 23, Jesus said he's going to rise again. He's going to rise again. Isn't it an amazing thing that God can come to us and comfort us with his words and with his word? And then there's a capricious statement or a fickle, impulsive statement in verse 24. Says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection last day. So she's going from what she knows in her head, but it hadn't got to her heart yet. You know, we as Christians have a lot of knowledge about God, but it doesn't get to our heart. Or we don't let it get to our heart when there's difficult situations. When you go through a tragedy, when you're going through a difficult time, it's like God is so far away we can't even hear him. And that's not the way he wants it. He wants to be right there with us.
Amen.
And he wants to comfort us. And so don't let your knowledge of the Bible make you think you're spiritually thinking right. Just because we know how many books are in the Bible, or we know the themes of the Bible, or we know the kings of the Bible, or the prophets of the Bible, or we've memorized verses, it's not how much you know, it's what you do with what you know. Has it reached your heart? Are you with me?
Amen.
When I come here to preach to you on Sunday mornings, I want to preach to your heart. I want God to use me for God to speak to your heart. I don't want to give you knowledge. A lot of people think, well, I'm spiritual because I know all these things. Well, let me move on. That's a message in itself. There's a clarifying statement in verse 25 through 26. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Amen?
Amen.
The word resurrection is in the Bible many times. We read resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The world does on Easter, but we celebrate it every Sunday morning. That's why we come to church on Sunday morning. We serve a risen Savior. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. Hey, it's a new year. You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Special dispensation, okay? Nobody's going to pass out and fall off in the aisle if you say amen. If you men won't say amen, you ladies say amen. I don't care who says it this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard Donna. She's getting her hanky out. Amen. Now, he says, I'm the resurrection of life. And the Bible talks about the first resurrection, the second resurrection in the Bible. First resurrection is all those that are saved.
Amen.
Okay, the second resurrection is the resurrection that takes place, the great white throne judgment for folks to be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. So you want to be in the first one, amen?
Amen.
And that means you need to be saved. You need to know the Lord as Savior. And so we look at this and we move on and we see a concurring statement in verse 27. She saith unto them, yea, Lord, she agrees with them. I believe you're Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. And she's going back and forth emotionally. And then Jesus, we see Jesus' compassion for his friends in verse 28 through 38. He comes to the grave in verse 31, and the Jews were comforting Mary, and the grave is not a good place. It's not a happy place. It's a hurtful place. It's a difficult place. it's not a place to hang out. We used to, when I was in high school, we used to take guys out and say, hey, we're going to go to the graveyard. And you know, we're going to look at graves in the middle of the night. And we'd let him get out first, and we'd lock the doors and take off and leave him there. And because we loved him so much. Some of you folks don't look like you think that's funny. It wasn't funny. It was funny to us, but not to them. It's not a place you hang out, right? And the graveyard's not a happy place. And people here comes to the grave. And this is the end to them. This is a place of finality. And in verse 33, it says there Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work, verse 33 of chapter 11, it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and also, Jews also which came, he groaned and was troubled spirit. He was troubled in his spirit. And then it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, why did Jesus cry? Was he crying for Lazarus? No. Was he crying for Mary and Martha? No. I believe Jesus was weeping because the pain of life that we have to face on this earth. People are still facing that same pain. And the Lord, he was a God, and he was God and man at the same time. And he felt that in his heart. He felt that in his body, and he wept. But I want you to notice also, there's a godly compassion there. The godly compassion he shows, they said he in verse 36. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved them." Mm-hmm. I want you to notice Jesus shows us his control over life and death in verses 39 through 45. I want you to notice in verse 39 the power of belief. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." And he says in verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? Believe." And there's a power in belief, and we'll talk about that more. And then the power of prayer. You notice verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always." He's talking to God. "But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." He's talking to God. He's praying to God. And then in verse 43 through 44, we see the power of God. He tells him to come forth, and Lazarus comes forth. And then in verse 45, we see the power of belief to salvation. It says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." I believe folks got saved and trusted Amen. Christ as personal Savior. There's a lot of moving parts in this chapter. The first part we looked at last week was he was talking to the disciples. He received the message about Lazarus dying. He was sick. And he didn't, he waited 2 days before he left. He waited 2 days, and then they had to travel 30 miles. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have that. They didn't have mopeds back then. They had to walk 30 miles. They had to go 30 miles to get to Bethany. And so we see that the disciples were watching all this. They didn't understand what he was saying about him sleeping. They didn't understand what he was saying about he would rise again. They were just out in the dark. You think about it. These disciples traveled with him everywhere he went, and they didn't learn anything. you would think they'd learn, you know. And folks, we need to learn. And so let's learn from this portion of Scripture. Let me give you four things today. Let me challenge you with four things. Number one, I want you to notice this chapter tells us that God loves us. And we sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But God loves us. Now, this is pretty difficult to understand here. Now look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, what's it say about in verse 3 of chapter 11? He said, "Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." In verse the same chapter, verse 5, it says, "Jesus loved Martha and Mary and her sister and Lazarus." Mm-hmm. And then in verse 36, then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved them." There's no question that God loves you.
Amen.
There's no question that God loves me. But I want you to notice, he allowed Lazarus to die. Mm. Now, Mary and Martha had to watch his emaciated body. Have you ever watched somebody die? Have you ever had a family member die and you went to the hospital? You know, as a pastor, I've had to stand in the hospital room when somebody died,
by myself because the family was too, it tore them up too bad, and I had to watch that person die. It's not a pretty sight. It's not. And I don't hear Mary and Martha singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Are you with me, folks?
Amen.
That's the kind of situation. We like to sing it when everything's going all right, when everything, the bills are paid and the bank account's okay and nobody's sick. We'll sing "Jesus loves me." But when we're going through the hard times, we need to realize then God loves us too.
Amen, brother.
And let me just say something. Mary and Martha had to realize, and I had to realize, and you have to realize, is God does things sometimes because he loves us. You go through hard situations. We go through tragic situations. We go through changes, and we're not ready for them. We go through things we're not ready for in life. Why? Because God loves us. God loves you more, and he does not love you any less. Well, you know, preacher, I wasn't very good this week. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. He may not be pleased with you, but he still loves you. Say, "Well, preacher, this came into my life and somebody told me this is because," you know, you need to quit listening to the somebodies of life and listen to the one who is the somebody of the world.
Amen.
You need to listen to God.
Amen.
You and God know why things come into your life. I hear preachers all the time say, "Well, if you do this, God's gonna, I don't know what God's gonna do in your life. I have no idea. That's not why God called me to preach. God called me to preach to give you the word. I know as much about your life as you do, as you tell me. I don't know deep down in your heart what God's doing in your life. But when you're going through something, we can be sitting here and you can be smiling under your mask. And you can be smiling or acting like, praise God, but inside you are mad as a hornet at God. Let me just tell you something. If you forget about it, if you need to be reminded of it, write it on a card. Put it on your wall. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you like nobody else loves you.
Amen.
Amen. And so we need to realize that. Number two, I want you to understand this. God has a purpose. Look at verse 4 of chapter 11. What does it say there? What is the purpose, church? What's the purpose? The last five words. God might be what? God might be glorified. That's the reason. God's glory. That's his purpose. In everything, God has a purpose. Everything. Everything that happens. I wish more of you could have been here for the 10 o'clock hour. Brother Steve sat in for the first time on our Sunday school for detours. It was good, wasn't it? And God has a purpose. It's just not doing something for any reason. Huh? Paul talks about the boxer in Corinthians. He said, "So fight I not as one that," what? "Beateth the air." He said, a boxer wants to land his punches. Paul got it. He said, listen, I want to be in the purpose of God. I want to be part of the purpose of God. I want God to have his purpose in my life. I want him to work his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Very, very familiar verse. We love this verse. We quote it a lot, but to live it is a different thing. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things. Well, you know, these things, I don't know if God had anything to do with that. He has all things.
Amen.
Well, I didn't like this, so God didn't have anything to do with it. Yes, all things. This is the one Paul that wrote about the thorn in the flesh. struggling. How do I still have this thorn in the flesh and God wants me to minister? Well, with that with that thorn in the flesh, God used him to pen the most of the New Testament. Plant churches. Win souls. Witness to kings. With the thorn in the flesh. He had a purpose. Everything that comes into our lives is a purpose. Mm-hmm. And the disciples didn't get it. And the sisters didn't get it. I don't think that many of the Jews got it. I think Lazarus might have got it. I mean, imagine Lazarus. He's wrapped in grave clothes. I mean, for all he knows, he's dead. I don't know what you, after you're dead, I don't know what you do, how you're thinking, the transition. I haven't been there yet. Won't be able to come back and tell you what it's like. So I haven't watched those movies that tell you about people being come back and, you know, the white light and all that stuff and all that crazy stuff. I don't know. And I don't subscribe to them, but I do know when you're dead, you're dead. And he's dead, and he says, "Come forth." You know, his sister said, "Behold, he stinketh." That's what my sister said about me when I was growing up. Says Lazarus, "Come forth," and he comes forth, and they take the grave. He says, "Loose him and let him go." Now, I want you to just kind of think. I want you to imagine you're Lazarus and you're breathing and you're awake and there's people taking the grave clothes off you and the eyes open and you look and you see Jesus. And you see Mary and Martha. And I imagine he hugged some people. But I imagine briefly after he finished hugging, he said, "I got some things I got to do. I got a second chance." Mm-hmm. You think anybody got purpose in that whole story? It had to be Lazarus. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had an audience. What was it like to be dead? I don't know. But there was a purpose. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good. And we need to get that. Number three, let me give you this thought. God's perspective is different than ours. God sees things differently than we do. He said to the disciples, he said, "Lazarus is asleep." Oh, that's good. If he's sick, he needs the rest. He wasn't talking about him being asleep. If you look in the verses, he says, I'm going to go wake him up. Now, Jesus, why would you wake him up? He's getting his rest. Okay, guys, let me tell you, he's dead. Oh. You ever had those old moments? Mm-hmm. When you had this thinking about the way it is, this is the way it is, and God says, "No, that's not the way it is." And he pulls back the scales and you're able. Listen, the Christian life is seeing life from God's point of view. Amen. It's not from our point of view. I mean, preacher, this is a really volatile situation. A person died. People are upset. People don't know what to think. That we get in the same way, and we can't be blind toward God's way. And his will and his word. Lazarus says he's asleep and he's okay. And they didn't understand. Martha in verse 21. Notice what she says in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She didn't know what she was talking about. Because she didn't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. She didn't see the big picture. It's important that we understand that we need to see life from God's point of view. That's wisdom. That's spirituality. God, we look at one little thing that happens that is big to us, and we think that's the end. We'll never recover from this. This is not good. Wait a minute, pull back and see the big picture with God. Huh? You ever seen those pictures, Where's Waldo? Y'all ever seen those things? Raise your hand if you. How many of you try to find Waldo? How many of you found him? I don't even try. People got too much time on their hand to paint one little thing in there and for me to look for it. I got better things to do. Right? And you're not paying attention to all you're trying to find Waldo. Yeah, that's the way we are as Christians. Right? We're just trying to find relief. And we're just trying to find that one thing, and we forget the big picture. God has a plan for your life. Amen. And today is a difficult time, and it's a battle. You may lose, you may fail, you may sin, but get up tomorrow, because tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life. Restart with God's picture. Mm-hmm. Listen, God loves us, and God has a purpose, and God's perspective is different than our. God saw this as an opportunity, and they saw it as a tragedy. Think about that. You mean my tragedy, my difficulty can be an opportunity? Yes. I've told this guy several times in my Sunday school class, this Sunday school lesson that we're going through with Detours is has whooped me all over the place. It's taught me some stuff. It really has. Because I got to practice what I preach. Amen. Perspective. Let me give you one last thing, and I'm done. God teaches us to believe. You say, preacher, why would you say something like that? Well, let me get you to look at a couple of verses. If we look at verse 15. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not here. Now, wait a minute. Comes these sisters. He says, I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't here. Now, how does that come out to a woman? Well, you're glad my brother died. Are you understanding? Are you understanding what it's just? That's not a very nice thing. Now, if I said that to you, I came to you, one of your family, if I came to you and said something like, I'm glad your dad died, you'd say, well, Darian, we got to find another church. He's whacked out. I am whacked out, but I'm not going to say that to you. But I want you to think about this. This is God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that jumps out right there. I'm glad I wasn't here. But let's see the rest of the verse. To the intent that ye may what?
Believe.
Now, help me with this, church. Did Mary and Martha and Lazarus know Jesus as their Savior?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to hold that thought. Because believe is the key. It's the key for you and I. I want you to notice verse 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. There you go. I believe you're God. A lot of people, I believe. You go to James, devils also believe and tremble. Notice verse 40. What's verse 40 say? Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? It's a key. If I was you, I'd circle that word in that chapter. Believe, believe, believe. Notice what it says in verse 42. I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it, that they may believe They need to believe too. He wants all to believe. He's not willing that any should perish. Notice verse 48. What's it say? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe. Now we'll get to this next week, but the Pharisees didn't like people believing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get God mad? Tell people about Jesus. Or get Satan mad? Tell people about Jesus. You please God when you tell people about Jesus. You're not going to get him mad, but you get Satan mad. He doesn't like people getting saved. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Notice, sometimes God allows us to see him work in situations so we can believe. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I've been saved 20 years. I've been saved 30 years. I've been saved 35 years. I'm a believer. Wait a minute. It's amazing how our belief goes out the door when tragedy comes, when difficult times comes. I've heard people, when they go through situations, talk like they're not even saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Believe. Notice, other times he allows us to get in serious predicaments so we can turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
God gets our attention. Again, he does things so people will accept him as their Savior. In those last verses, in verse 45, you say, preacher, there's a miracle here. No, there's several miracles here. Lazarus is raised from the dead, but it says many of these Jews believed on him. They got saved.
Amen.
To what? To what end? To the glory of God. That's a purpose. To the glory of God. Certainly wasn't on Mary and Martha. Certainly wasn't on these disciples. They act like unbelievers. Certainly wasn't on these Jews. They didn't know God from Adam's goat. What happened? They believed on him. That's the end of it. And that's the beginning for people. Let me say this. God teaches us to believe, but we as Christians must continue to believe. We are fickle, in and out, up and down. I've talked to people. Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Well, I used to. Well, that's not the Bible. Because the Bible teaches once you're saved, you're always saved.
Amen.
I talk to Christians that have been in church longer than I've been alive. And they talk like they're not even saved. I say, why? Because a situation has come into their lives and they forgot God loved them. Why? Because a situation came into their life and they forgot God had a purpose. Why? Because they were blind. They would not see it the way God saw it. And they stopped believing. Listen, God wants us to understand in each situation, he's right there with us with a purpose, and we need to see it as he sees it. You ever seen a telescope and had somebody look at a telescope and say, hey, look at this, and they're looking through the telescope and you're looking up and you say, what are you looking at? And then you look it through the telescope and you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we need to be with our lives. We need to see it the way God sees it, not the way we see it. Don't let the world fashion the way you think. Don't let the world fashion the way you see things. God wants us to know he loves us, has a purpose, he has a plan. We need to see it. Believe. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes for a minute. And I want to ask you a couple questions. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. If Christ is my Savior, heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I'm born again. I remember a time when I trusted Christ as personal Savior. Now, I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you're in a denomination. I'm asking you, not asking if you're religious, but do you have a relationship with Christ? You say, preacher, I'm here. If I know my heart, I don't know for sure I'd die. If I died, I'd be in heaven. I really don't. There has never been a time that I have trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I don't have a relationship with him. But I do want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I do want to know Christ is my Savior. And I'll let you pray for me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and just put it up and back down? God bless you. 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 Anybody else? If you raise your hand, would you look at me for just a moment? Would you let somebody show you how to be saved today? Well, come on. Come on. Miss Creed. Chris. Come on, young man. What's the young man's name?
Maxwell.
Come on, Maxwell. Mr. Chris, this is my wife, Pam. She'll show you. Mr. Chris, talk to Maxwell. Maxwell, I'm going to let you talk to Mr. Chris. Okay? He won't bite. Amen. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's pray for these two as these folks deal with them. But let me ask you something. Where are you with your life? This is convicting to me as your preacher. This is a convicting message for me to preach because I deal with this and you deal with this every day. We go through difficult times. We get our eyes off the Lord. We forget we're his child. We forget he loves us. And we resort to thinking like unbelievers. And we miss what God's trying to teach us. And we're not robots. We wish we could go to Walmart and get this module and plug it in, don't we? But we can't. We must listen to God. We must listen to the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you, Christian, if God has spoken to your heart today, would you get alone with him and deal with it? You might be going through a difficult time right now. I want to ask you, would you deal with it today? Would you tell God, hey, God, you know I've got my eyes off you. You know that I'm backwards. I'm mad. You know that I'm bitter. You know that this thing has gotten my eyes off of the real picture. And walk out this door today back on track with God. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nolan looking around. God spoke to your heart. You want to get alone with him. Come.
He will surely lead. Only trust him. Thank you.
You may be seated. Let's just wait a second. Miss Creed and Chris are dealing with these two. We'll wait a minute for them. Anybody got a testimony or praise for the Lord today? Yes.
Praise the Lord. I've seen 80 years. And with my family dying quite young, I'm very surprised, but very grateful.
Amen. Amen. Arnold, you want to share that one you shared with us out there in the parking lot?
Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, my wife lost her wedding band out here. And we've been all over this place with metal detectors and everything we can think of trying to find it. I got out of the car this morning and walked across the parking lot and there they...
Amen. He brought it into Wendy, and she made him ask her to marry him again. She said no. Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. Anybody else?
Just to reiterate, we brought it up last Friday night. The Lord has blessed us again. We have another grandchild coming.
Amen.
I don't know whether I told you.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, another one coming. God is great. He's
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
He is blessing us.
Get another bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
I'm thankful for how Omni night went. I wasn't feeling good. I woke up that morning not feeling good. Just, you know, minor cold type stuff, but still an infection. And I was a driver, so I had to stay away. and I managed to do that. We didn't have problems with the bus, other than the fact that the windshield wiper tried to leave the bus, but, you know, it survived. But what I'm thankful for is that the kids, I didn't have to feel like I was fighting them all night. It was very nice to just see them enjoy themselves and not have to constantly feel like I needed to bring them back in line and try to get them to listen.
So yeah.
It was a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing. We had 12 go, right?
12 of our normal teenagers.
12, and then on Wednesday night, we had... a bunch of them show up.
Yeah, we had like 17, I think.
And two visitors mm-hmm. on Wednesday night. And so that was a blessing. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Yes. Shanice's eyesight. Doing better. So what did the doctor say?
They still don't know what caused the inflammation, but for them, as long as they can manage it, is the most important thing to prevent going blind.
So what's the biggest struggle she'll have going forward the next few months?
Steroids. She has to slowly get off the steroids.
Yeah.
So hopefully April she'll be off.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's good. That's good news. Amen. How's your job going, Jennifer?
Oh. Well, I'm just grateful because the Lord is really shaking me, and I know that the church are praying for my job situation, and sometimes, and many times I think I would say, do you really believe that God will do something for you? And it is a lesson for me. I will start January 10th.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We praise the Lord for that. Brother Sam?
Yeah, concerning that, surprise for me that I desire for something like that. But, you know, it's like unbelievable. It's just a walking distance to my job, the same hours, one car going to work. I don't think anybody can beat that.
Well, the other hurdle is you just got to get along every day. Don't get mad at each other. Amen. 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 God loves us, doesn't he? God loves us, and he gives us those things.
I thought about that. He will be my driver, and I hope he will drive me nuts.
I didn't mean to throw that out there and get you all mad at each other right now. So pray for them. They need marriage counseling. Brother,
yeah,
Yeah, almost forgot. You know, sometimes God bless you so much, sometimes you forgot about the blessings. But up until last week, the CEO of the hospital decided to give us all a big pay increase.
Amen.
Yeah, not to mention, too, come March, my evaluation, and I know I'm going to get another pay increase.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty confident.
Hey, God is good, man.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yeah,
Steve?
We're looking at a shotgun. I'm thinking about buying two or something.
Okay, that's enough.
I thank the Lord for just being able to be in church. Mm-hmm. God really spoke to my heart this morning and used the Sunday school, the Amen. Morning message, and God has a purpose in all of us and local churches. We get to see different churches all over, and it's so important. Thank you for being following the Lord and direction and your teaching.
Amen. Good to have you all. Good to have you all. And really pray for them. They're in limbo. Believe it or not, he'd rather be there than here. Now, that I can't imagine that. I can't imagine saying that, because when I get to the Dominican Republic, I'm there for 1 week and I'm ready to get out of there. I mean, I love the people. I love their church. Now, if I could go to their church every day and be with there, it's just amazing. It's amazing to me that those people come to church. And they get up there, and Steve gets up there preaching. He goes, dah, 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 dah. Yeah, he gets those shoulders up. Steve, when he gets mad, no, Amy doesn't. He gets his shoulders up like this, like he's getting ready to fly like a hawk. And sometimes he gets preaching like that and everything. But it's just such a blessing. If you're a visitor in their auditorium, soon as the invitation starts, people start getting up and start going after people. Say, you start witnessing to them right in church.
Amen.
I mean, they don't play around. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And those people, when you're there and visiting it from like a visiting preacher, they treat you like you're a big something big. Now, I'm big, but I mean, it's not. But they are so gracious, and they just. Patrick, a couple years ago, went with us, and the first night, Patrick took his tie off and gave it to one of the preacher boys.
Amen.
So I looked at my dad, and he looked at me. I said, "Well, your namesake started it, Dad." So we gave our ties away every night, you know. And those guys, they thought the world of that, wearing ties and so. And pray for their building. Anybody else have a praise? Well, Rebecca came.
Should we see Christ?
Well, you stand up,
Amen.
Rebecca.
Amen.
Did you trust Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I did.
Now you know you're on your way to heaven.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to call you Rebecca anymore. I'm going to call you sister.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay, brother.
Because we're in a family. Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
That's a blessing. To lay your head on the pillow, to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And this is your only child?
Yes.
God's dealing with your son. Your son, your husband knows Christ.
Yes.
So, no family circle being broken here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you that Rebecca trusted you. We thank you for her spirit, and we thank you for her submitting to your word, and to know that she's been passed from death unto life, and that she has a home in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you'd help her to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's stand to be dismissed. I'm going to get Miss Creed to stand with Rebecca. You come up here and give her a knuckle bump or an elbow bump or whatever. And we rejoice in that, her trusting Christ as Savior. And pray for Chris as he deals with your boy,
Maxwell.
And so let's close in prayer. Brother Jim, close for us, would you?
Father God, once again, we see your mighty hand at work. You have been glorified today, Father, and our hearts are leaping with joy. We know that the angels are rejoicing, Lord, because two more of the children will come home. You are glorified, you are praised, and we love you and we thank you, Lord. Be with us as we go. Keep us safe. Keep us under your wings in Christ's name. Amen.
Hold it just a second. Maxwell. Maxwell came. Maxwell, did you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Now you want to live for Him?
Yes.
Amen. Well, stand right there by your mom. How old are you, Maxwell?
8.
8 years on this earth. Has the rest of his life to live for God. There's no telling what God can do through this young man.
Amen.
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 So come by and shake hands. Welcome him to God's family. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, man.